Well, a few weeks ago, the United States, I'm sure you've heard this, moved its embassy in Israel to Jerusalem. There were two reasons given as to why it was done. First of all, it was required, actually. The Congress in 1995 voted for the Jerusalem Embassy Act, in which it was determined that the United States Embassy should move to Jerusalem. And then it was finally enacted here a few weeks ago. And secondly, it has been the tradition of American policy to place our embassies in the capital cities of the countries where we have a diplomatic presence. And so Jerusalem has been known as the capital since most of the offices of the Israeli government are in Jerusalem. So it was determined. It was placed there. Just out of curiosity, how many have gone in and visited a U.S. embassy in another country? Anybody? Oh, one? Oh, yeah. Well, of course, it's a fascinating thing to do, to be able to go into another country and go into your own territory. We did this on our visit to the feast site in France in 1982. This goes back a number of years ago. At that time, France had just undergone a presidential election the year before, and I want to give you a little bit of a glimpse as to what was going on at that particular time. So this was in 1982, and we are all aware, for those of us who were alive at that time, 1979, there was a gas crisis that triggered a lot of the erosion of living standards, worsening unemployment, and not only did that adversely affect the United States, it adversely affected a number of nations in Europe, including France. There was a tremendous amount of pressure in France from the Socialistic Party. And for the next few years, there was a lot of unrest from 1979 to 1981. So in 1981, François Mitterrand was chosen to be the prime minister. The socialists won for the first time that ever occurred, at least for the first time in 25 years, the government turned left in France. Because of its popularity, and because of the fact that there was now pressure from all sorts of people in France, that people in the country were encouraged to join the Socialist Party. In fact, while we were there at the feast in France, we met a member who lost his job two times because he refused to join the Socialist Party. And of course, you know, in the church, we don't join parties. We are apolitical. We don't get involved in politics, and neither did the members there in France. At that time, also, America was not being held in high esteem. The hostage crisis in Iran had just ended. President Reagan had come to office in 1981. The economy was not the greatest yet, until a number of tax cuts came to be. It took a while for the economy to recover in the 1980s. So that was kind of the background, a little bit of the climate that was there in France at the time. And I don't know whether this was where we just happened to be in some places, but in some areas where we went to, we could detect that the Americans' presence, our presence as being an American, was not all that well received. We were not well received in some parts. Maybe we shouldn't have been in those parts. I don't know. But there were times we felt uneasy. We knew we were not in the right in our country, so we felt uneasy. So one day we thought, let's visit the U.S. Embassy. And once inside the building, after you get cleared by the guard, and you step across the gate there, you're in U.S. territory, and we felt safe. We felt secure. We went into the main building, and there were Marine guards at the entrance and inside the building. But it was a familiar atmosphere. I mean, there were pictures on the wall of things you would see in the United States. And so we didn't feel like we were in a foreign territory. People spoke English. We could hear and understand what people were saying. At least I could at that time. And so I happened to hold Timothy, who was 2 years old at the time, so that Sue could take a picture. So she took a picture, and bam, this Marine guard came out and said, "No pictures in here." And we didn't know that, but for security reasons, you couldn't take pictures. So at that time, of course, we did not argue. I was not going to argue with an armed guard. So we only have one picture of that event. But we felt secure. We felt a sense of safety, and that we were in a place that was owned and protected by the United States in a foreign land. And we wanted to stay there for a while, just to kind of soak up the atmosphere. So what does this all have to do with us being Christians? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5 and in verse 20. A scripture that we've heard a number of times, we're quite familiar with. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 20. "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." So God is pleading through us that people be reconciled to God. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Originally, the embassy was known as, basically, it was referred to as the ambassador and his staff. That's what it was normally called. It wasn't so much an embassy, but the ambassador and his staff. But it became known as an embassy as to where they would live and work. And these ambassadors and staff, of course, with the United States, would be sent to different countries to represent the United States. So today, an embassy of the United States is the nerve center for the country's diplomatic affairs within the borders of another nation. The chief officer of the embassy is the ambassador. The title of this sermon is Embassies and Ambassadors. Embassies and Ambassadors. We're going to look at some of the things that go on in embassies, some of the things that ambassadors do. And we're going to look at some parallels between what goes on in these embassies and the ambassadors with you and I and the church. We're going to see some parallels. It's interesting to note that an embassy or a consulate is a location that is in another regional city other than the capital. For instance, Germany would have its embassy in the United States in Washington, D.C., but they also might have a consulate in St. Louis. I don't know if they do or not, but some cities do have various consulates. They each represent, an embassy, a consulate, each represents a sovereign state. So that embassy in France was a sovereign state area of the United States. International rules do not allow representatives of the host country to enter the embassy without permission, even to put out a fire. Let's say there would be a fire in the Paris embassy. The French fire departments could not go in there and help unless they got permission from the United States to enter into the embassy. And an attack on an embassy or a consulate would be considered an attack on the country it represents. Kind of like what happened with Benghazi. The attack happened on the consulate, and that technically was an attack on the nation, the United States. Within the embassy, an ambassador is supported by a number of officers, a number of specialists. They perform a variety of activities, and there are representatives of other agencies such as the Department of Defense and Commerce and Justice, Agriculture. It's a microcosm. The embassy is a microcosm of the U.S. government. So with that in mind, let's look at a couple of things here and see some parallels with the church. First of all, we know what the church represents. We realize that we are here as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, and we represent God's government, God's kingdom. It's not here on earth. Let's look at John 18, verse 36. We realize God's government is not here on, his kingdom is not here on earth. But we are representatives of God's government. God's coming kingdom. The church is located on the earth. Our current configuration is that we have a physical headquarters, and we have congregations, so we have kind of like an embassy and congregations, consulates. I don't want to take the analogy too far, but the idea is that God has his church. John 18, verse 36. Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." So his kingdom is not on the earth. It will come to the earth. But in the meantime, we represent the kingdom of God as ambassadors of Jesus Christ, as we've seen here in 2 Corinthians. All right, and what we could see is that even though we're physical, we're not spirit yet, the church is represented in many different countries, not just in the United States. And the church, I would say, would be the nerve center of God's way of life. This church lives and breathes God's way, or at least we should be living and breathing God's way. The church of God is to live and breathe God's way. Second thing, it's kind of interesting if you think about what happens with an attack. An attack on the church, an attack on any of its ambassadors, can be likened to an attack against God and against the government of God. Let's look at this example in Acts 5. Acts 5, verse 35. Acts 5, verse 35. The Jewish people at this particular time were very upset at the disciples. The apostles were going out and preaching the gospel. And they actually wanted to kill them. They were furious. Verse 33, Acts 5, verse 33. We'll just look there. They wanted to plot and kill them. Well, in verse 34, one of them, a Pharisee by the name of Gamaliel, had great respect by all the people. He commanded them to put the apostles out for a little while. Let's talk about this. Let's have an executive session in here without the apostles here. Let's talk about this. Let's reason together about this. And he gave a little history. He said, "Men of Israel, take heed to yourselves what you intend to do regarding these men. Remember this time," and he's bringing up something that we don't have the history of, but Thutis rose up claiming to be somebody. A number of men, about 400, actually joined him. He was slain, and all who obeyed him were scattered and came to nothing. So Thutis had this following, but look what happened. He died and it all dissipated. And then after him was another fellow by the name of Judas of Galilee. He rose up. He drew away quite a few people. He perished, and all who obeyed him were dispersed. And then he says, And now I say to you, keep away from these men. Let them alone. For if this plan or of work is of men, it'll come to nothing. But if it is of God, you cannot overthrow it, lest you even be found to fight against God. Interesting what Gamaliel brought out. If you mess around with these men, you could be fighting against God. And in the same way, anyone in this world that would attack an embassy is an attack on the country. An attack on any ambassador is an attack on God and on God's church. Number three thing to look at is that we all have our parts to play. As I mentioned, that there's this microcosm within these embassies of the government of the United States. Well, within God's church, we have all these different aspects of everyone working together. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and in verse 4. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 4. There are differences of gifts, but you have the same Spirit. There's differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There's differences of activities, but it's the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So the church is kind of like a microcosm of the coming kingdom of God. We have all kinds of varieties of peoples within the church of God, with all different backgrounds, with all different talents, for the purpose of profiting everyone. Now let me go into a little bit more of what goes into an embassy, what goes on. This is from Diplomacy 101 website, Diplomacy 101. There are two obvious functions of embassies. One is the people there, they issue visas, they assist American citizens abroad. They protect the rights of the nationals in the country where they're residing in. So that's one function. Another function is that they interact with host governments, interact with local businesses, and to create positive responses to U.S. policy and the U.S. in general. Now, thinking about that, let's just consider a couple things here, some thoughts, what the church does. We assist brethren, we assist members who are in need all over the world. We have congregations all over the world. We have consulates, in a sense, of God's government all over the world, and in those congregations, we help one another. We help assist. One of the biggest things is we can encourage one another. You know, on the Sabbath, we come together, we encourage one another. Because we all are living in this society, but here we could come here and we have a microcosm of God's way of life right here. So that's one thing. And the other thing is we do interact. Even though we're not part of the world, we do live in the world, we work in the world, we do interact with the world, and we try to create positive impressions of God's way of life and of the church wherever we go. We try to do that here. We try to do that with the community around here, with the staff and the management. We try to cooperate and work together. But you know when we do this the most? During the feast. How often are we reminded that we are going to the Feast of Tabernacles, and when we come into these areas, we represent the church. We represent God's way of life. Our example is paramount. So yeah, we do get into that type of interaction with the local areas in which we are. And we have to, even here in this location, you know, make sure we're trying to do the best we can to promote a positive impression of God's way of life. I want to talk a little bit about ambassadors for a moment. This is from geography.com. The ambassador is the highest official in the embassy, acts as the chief diplomat and spokesperson for the home government. Ambassadors are typically appointed by the highest level of the home government. Of course, in the United States, ambassadors are appointed actually by the president and confirmed by the Senate. This is from the Encyclopedia Britannica. An ambassador's personality and prestige may help play an important part in making the views of his government understood. An ambassador's personality and prestige can actually help play an important part in making the views of his government understood. We are ambassadors for Jesus Christ. We'll talk about this in just a minute. Also, having firsthand knowledge of the country in which he is accredited may enable him to influence his government's policy even decisively. God calls all of us in different parts of the world, because eventually we're going to be working with all peoples in different parts of the world. I believe this is an interesting parallel from what we see here. Who's the highest authority in the universe? God. Who appointed us? God. We didn't come to God and say, appoint me, I want to be one of your ambassadors. We didn't do that. God called us. He opened up our hearts and he said, I want you basically to work for me. I want you to represent me. And here we are called. He's the one who appointed us. Now that carries some responsibility. Let's look at 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7 to 8. God did not call us to uncleanness. So we see we're called, but he did not call us to be unclean. He did not call us to be sinful. He called us to change. He called us to be in holiness. God did not call us to uncleanness, but he called us to be holy, in holiness. Are we following through? Are we trying to do the best we can in our lives by being pure and without sin? We know God is holy and we want to be like God. And we can't reject the calling that God gave us. And nor can we reject the Holy Spirit. So we do have responsibilities. Notice verse 9. Concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. So like Paul is saying, I don't need to remind you of this. You already know it. We all ought to have this deep concern for one another. And then he talks about there at the end of verse 10 to increase more and more. Verse 11, that you lead a quiet life, mind your own business, not to meddle in things that are none of our business. Work with your hands, as we commanded you. Verse 12, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. Walk properly to those who are outside. Is our example godly? I mean, at work or at school, wherever we might be, are we ambassadors for Jesus Christ? Are we walking properly and doing what God wants us to do? This is the concept that is found in the travelstate.gov website. In many ways, the U.S. Embassy is your 911 when overseas. It's your point of contact for assistance in many different situations, during a natural disaster, political upheaval, other emergencies. There are consular officers that assist with evacuation, transportation. Those employed and called to work in embassies are to serve. Wouldn't you say that's our responsibility too, to serve, as we've been seeing here, and to multiply in that service? That service, in my mind, would be like offering comfort and help, friendship, a helping hand. extending ourselves. This is from wisegeek.com website. I didn't think websites would use a name like Wise Geek, but there's a lot of material in some of these websites. But this is from wisegeek.com. What is an embassy? And they mentioned three primary staff, types of staff that are found in embassies, along with the administrative support staff. For instance, there is what are called counselor officers. Counselor officers. They deal with handling issues like any aid that travelers need, visas or whatever. And if you think about this, we all know that within the church, we're all members, we all work together, there are deacons and elders and ministers, but we all work together. We're a team. We're a team. But even in an embassy, these, you have specific individuals who help in specific different areas. And so, in a sense, if you think about it, when we put together an activity, we have a lot of help from everywhere. Like the potluck meal last week, we unfortunately were unable to miss that. We missed it. We're sorry we couldn't get back in time for it, but all that work that went in there and all the setting up of the tables and taking down of the tables, we all helped one another with that. We were kind of handling issues that way, taking care of issues and activities within the local congregation. There's also what's called political officers in these embassies. They deal with the political climate in the host nation. They report back to their home government. Now, in a sense, if you think about it, in the church, that would be like us watching world events. You know, we're to pray, to be counted worthy to escape. Watch and pray. And we're concerned, and we take our concerns to God. And we see what's going on, and we say, God, please send your kingdom. We need your kingdom. This is what's going on here. How much longer? How much longer? And so we do see that. How can that, you know, issues that can affect the church nationally even. How about locally? Recall a few years ago what happened just north of us in Ferguson? You know, there was a lot of concern from a lot of members about where we were meeting. It was just a few miles from that whole activity. So there was concern, and I understand that. We want to ask for God's protection. We ask for wisdom. But look at what God's blessed us with. We've been here now for a couple of years, and this is a beautiful facility, and God has allowed us to be here for as long as we can. So, yeah, there was some concern. But so you have that issue there. I mean, I'm just giving, again, some possible parallels here. Economic officers are in these embassies, and they negotiate over taxes and tariffs and things like that. Well, you know, in the church, we do work together with headquarters to get the right budget, the local subsidies. We try to help the international areas. There is international support that goes out, and we all, you know, work with our tithes and offerings and to give our offerings. And so, yeah, there are those type of, officers as well. What I'm trying to do is show that, even in these embassies, you have particular people do various things. You have that even at headquarters. You have that in local congregations. You have various people doing certain things in certain ways to do what? For the profit of all, so that everyone is able to be profited by whatever service is rendered. Now, I want to also mention this as well. And this is the same website. Most ambassadors have foreign service training and receive additional training before they are deployed. Foreign service training. How much training have we all been receiving? You know, for years we all come every week and we are being trained. We are being taught. We are being educated, as we were with the message we just heard. We're being trained. How much leadership training has been given over the years in the church? And are we taking advantage of that? We have all these programs going on. And even now, the local leadership classes are underway. Why? So we can all be better prepared and better representatives of God's way of life. And we are in training to be kings and priests. That's our responsibility that God will give to us in the future. So we've got to continue to do that. Now, what's also interesting, I did not know this until someone had told me this, that ambassadors and senior staff are also recalled to the host country to be refreshed. Sometimes you can be in an area of the world and be a little bit more, acclimate to the area of the world where you are. And so you're brought back to get into the culture of the United States. And so they're not caught up in the local affairs of the world or the country they are in. And if you think about it, are we not too recalled every year, at least for 8 days? We're recalled out of the world, out of where we live, so that we could be refreshed with God's way of life, refreshed with what the kingdom of God is all going to be, and how the kingdom of God is going to interact with humanity, what the kingdom of God will be like. Sometimes we can forget that if we're not, able to go to the feast. And a lot of people who have not decided not to go, they forget about the coming kingdom of God. So I want to come now to the last point here, and this is very important for all of us as members to think about. In order to work for an embassy, employees must generally pass background checks and receive extensive training. These are employees. Diplomats are living representatives of their home nations. Spotless characters and manners are required of embassy personnel. Spotless character, manners. A diplomat is deployed for a period of several years, ensuring that he or she contributes to the enrichment of relations between the two countries. Now, I know we can't call people. I understand that. But we can be a good example to people. We can be kind to people. We can be encouraging to people wherever we meet them. Now, in thinking about all of this, let's look at Hebrews 5. Let's look at Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Hebrews 5 and verse 11. And these are things each of us are going to have to ask and evaluate in our own lives. Hebrews 5 and verse 11. Of whom we have much to say. Now we're breaking into a discussion here is that Paul, or the author here, was discussing Melchizedek, who Melchizedek was. We have much to explain, much to say, hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. That's a strong phrase in the Greek. It's kind of like a laziness in the way we hear or understand. So the author is explaining that this material here that he was presenting was becoming very difficult to give to the members there because of the dullness of how people were looking at these things. They had changed. They weren't as excited about it. They weren't as interested in it. They'd become dull. In the Greek, it means slow moving. Your mind is slow moving. It's not interesting to you. One definition is imperceptive nature as a stone, kind of like a rock. It's not getting through because somehow it's hardened. We've become dull. We get so busy in life, and all of us have so many activities going on. and we're filled with worries, that sometimes we get tired of listening. Sometimes we get tired of listening. The failure of learning is that we think we know it already. Oh yeah, well I'll read these two verses, the Bible. Okay, I've done that. Okay, I got my Bible study in for the week. No. We've got to recognize that God wants us to learn, and we don't know it already. I learned some things today I had not, you know, thought about or learned, heard. It was very interesting. And we all can learn things. And it's dangerous for us if we've been in the church for a while, because we could become dull of hearing. And so, verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. We all need to eventually teach these truths of God. You know, where people ask us a question, will we be able to answer those questions? Now today we have people who teach in the Sabbath school program. That's good. Or in families. Absolutely. Parents to their children. And these people in the Hebrews, audience here were not new people. They were long time, Jewish people, Hebrew people that knew the covenants, knew the laws of God. They knew all this stuff, but they themselves, either they're Christians, they had become dull to the point that they were, the fundamentals, they were like children who were not growing up. They wanted to stay children and not grow up in knowledge. So it's pretty serious what is being brought out here. Verse 13, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. They became children just needing milk. And they were going actually backward. They were becoming beginners. Milk is essential for a child, but they only chose to partake in milk. And they didn't dig deeper. They were unskilled. And it is to dig deeper to try to get into the Greek, into the Hebrew, and to see how those words are very interesting when you look at some of the definitions of these different type of words. Now, you know, I would say those of us who are older, we like to eat a hamburger versus, what would you eat, a hamburger or a glass of milk? Well, you know, we'd probably all eat the heavier meal, or at least a type of heavier meal than just milk. Verse 14, solid food belongs to those who are full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So we need the stronger food. We need to continually upgrade our knowledge and truth of God's way of life. Not just look surfacely. So we have that responsibility. The world is changing. It's becoming evil. And a lot of evils are now being espoused as being good. They are not good. And we need to discern. And our training never stops. So what we've seen as to what goes on in embassies and with ambassadors of this world should give us an idea, a help to help us with our calling, and that we continue to train and multiply our helpful service to others. And so let's look at one concluding scripture here over here in Acts 1. Acts 1. Acts 1. And Mr. Meeker went here to show that Christ will be coming back in the same manner. He'll come back right there in the Mount of Olives. But notice verse 6 to 8. That was before that section that he read. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? I mean, he had been there for 40 days and giving all these proofs and all these miracles to them, and was very encouraging to them. Are you going to Because it says in verse 2, they spoke of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So they were all excited. Are you going to, at this time, restore the kingdom to Israel? And this is what Jesus Christ said. He said, "It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority." God knows when the right time will be. In the meantime, we have responsibilities. And this was for the disciples at that time, the apostles, but let's extrapolate that to all disciples throughout all time. And that is, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. That has been given to us. We discussed that last week over Pentecost. You shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the end of the earth. And so we too have been called to be witnesses. We've been called to be ambassadors of Jesus Christ all through the world. And right now we're here in Missouri. We're here in Illinois. And that's where God has placed us to be in this area of the world at this point, to be his ambassadors and to be the best examples of God's way of life in this troubled world.